You know, count it all joy. God tells us to count it all joy. And, you know, last week in the sermon, we looked at really the story of the last few days of Jesus' life and how he has overcome the world. And he tells us that in this world, we will face trouble. And so sometimes, oftentimes, it's really hard to count something as joy because we face trials. And it is a great reminder, and it is a truth that that's the alignment of the heart and mind that God wants us to have, but it is hard. How many of you find it hard sometimes to be filled with joy when you're facing the things of this world? It's hard. But then there's sometimes where we see God do something, and it is unmistakable, and you cannot be anything but joyful. And we've got a testimony this morning where I think that's the case. And I'm going to ask Eric to stand. You know, this is the time where we just have someone from our family stand up and say why they're here to worship and what they're thankful for. And Eric is in my Wednesday night men's group, and we've been praying for someone for, 3 months or so or longer. And he's going to tell that story right now. So, Eric, what are you grateful for, and what are you here to worship? Why are you here to worship? Sorry.
Yeah, thank you, Sean. I'm thankful for the Lord's faithfulness, not only to hear our prayers, but to meet us in those prayers and to help us walk to his miraculous victory. My cousin Hannah, we have a family Zoom. We talk about weekly. This was something we started because of COVID. We've got some elderly that really can't get out. They're pretty isolated. So we started this right about the beginning of COVID and kept it going. And so we were excited. Hannah let us know about, 10, 11 weeks that she was pregnant. And so we're all celebrating that. And, you know, as prayer requests come, we pray. And of course, we pray that God would bless that pregnancy. It seemed like a week or two later, the next week we had Zoom. She came on and she said, they've detected that there's low amniotic fluid. And my wife was an OBGYN nurse, and so she said that's really bad at this stage. So she's first trimester. And at that point, I shared the story on our Zoom. I said, you know, my dad, your uncle, was someone who the doctor said there was no hope. My grandmother was pregnant with my dad. He was her fourth. And she had very serious health conditions, and they told her to have an abortion. They said they detected that he had something wrong with his heart, and he would be born blue and wouldn't survive anyway, and so she should have an abortion. And driving home, she lived in Baltimore, Maryland, but on a billboard up near their church, she saw a sign that said, Matthew 11:28, come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And she took that as a word from the Lord, and she just said, I'm going to trust the Lord. And so we know the end of that story. My dad went on to serve the Lord, and he led thousands of children to the Lord as a children's pastor. He went on to be with the Lord when he was 51, but God still gave him 51 years on this earth. And so we shared that story, and then we prayed. And over the next couple of weeks, as it was confirmed that she had a rupture and that there were going to be problems with this birth, she was told again and again and again by the doctors, it's not a good idea to go forward. This is a severe risk to your health. There's a much better chance of you dying of sepsis than of this baby being viable, much less having any quality of life. And but she said, she's a new believer. She's only been saved a few years. But she said, I believe it's wrong to have an abortion. I believe that that's in God's hands. And so her and her husband basically went against their doctors, went against the first several doctors that they even talked to. And all along this journey, we prayed with them, and we said, you know, if you'll dedicate this baby to the Lord, you know, there's no guarantees. Obviously, it's God's will, but, you know, I believe that God can absolutely miraculously do something here. And we saw that he did. And so week after week, the baby continued to hit markers, continued to grow. Basically, as they went to she went to doctor visit after doctor visit, you know, they kept confirming It's just a matter of time. This is not going to progress. Actually, at 23 weeks, she had to, the doctors told her, go home. You know, we don't want to do anything else for you. It's just a matter of time before the baby goes septic and we'll have to abort. And she had to fight the doctors. She had to say, no, my baby's heartbeat is strong and I'm going to fight. And so she was admitted to a very excellent prenatal program. She spent 78 days in the hospital. And it wasn't just her, it wasn't just our family. The Lord surrounded her with Christians. She found help groups online, Christians, churches all around there, rides, people reaching out, helping. She has a toddler, 18-month-old. So she spent 78 days in the hospital. She said the fact that she didn't go into depression, which she suffers from, was an absolute miracle. So just step after step after step, the Lord provided for her. And this was not an easy journey. I mean, this was a very difficult journey. And even at 30 weeks, her OBGYN told her, you know, prepare for the worst. There's very little chance this baby will be able to breathe. There's not been enough amniotic fluid for them to develop their lungs. But we saw actually just a couple weeks before that, miraculously, the amniotic fluid raised 5 times just out of the blue. And they actually witnessed the baby filling its lungs with the amniotic fluid. But they said, you know, is that enough? Is that enough for him to develop his lungs? And even at 30 weeks, they said, you know, we're going to prepare for a C-section at 34 weeks, 35 weeks, but we don't expect this baby to be viable. You know, even with all the modern science we have, the baby's lungs still have to be developed enough to be able to take the oxygen. And so she goes into labor, she has the baby. Actually, a couple weeks, probably 3 weeks before that, we prayed again that God would bless this pregnancy. And we prayed specifically, and I think that's important for us to do in our lives. We prayed specifically that God would allow this baby to cry, that we would hear the cry. And I think she actually used the word, she prayed for a lion's cry. And so this baby, all along the way, his heart was strong. That heart was beating. He wanted to live. And so she told the whole story. There's a lot of details that go into this. But, you know, at first the baby didn't cry, and they took him out. They're resuscitating him. And the nurse comes back with her husband's phone, Jose, and basically he shows her on the thing, and there it is. But God does this miraculous thing. And so she's now 2 weeks since she's been delivered. The baby was on 100% vent initially for 4 days. The baby's progressed. He's off the vent now. He's progressing. He's mostly on CPAP, and he's progressing. They think he's going to leave the hospital and go home. And even just last week, and so she's living with friends and having to be taken back and forth to the hospital because her home is very far away from this special neonatal unit that they have there. But all along, the Lord has prepared, has provided, has sustained, has delivered, has given all the help that she's needed. And, you know, God's miraculous hand in the situation is amazing. She even had a friend, a Christian friend, that God brought into her realm of influence that she walked with, who lost her baby at 24 weeks. She had a very similar circumstance. And a couple weeks ago, she worked with her Hannah wrote a song, and the young lady put it to music. But in this journey, you know, we're not guaranteed. You know, it's a miraculous thing that God did. And so as God just kind of worked out each and every one of these circumstances, it's a miracle. And beyond that, so that 78 days that she spent in the hospital, that story, so she's gotten now many feedbacks from the nurses, from the doctors, that witness, that story of faith, has made a huge impact on the non-believers on that floor. And so her ability to tell the story of what God's done, and they discounted the chances of this happening are zero. There's absolutely no chance at 12 weeks for this baby to actually be viable and for this to happen. So God has done an amazing thing.
Well, thank you, Eric. We have a little clip here.
Take a picture.
So there's the cry of a lion that she prayed for, And I just found that story just so powerful because I remember the day he brought it to our group. And here's this relatively new believer. She's been a believer for 2 years at this point, and is being told, you need to abort your child. And if you don't, it will abort naturally. There's no way this baby is going to live, and you may die in the process. And she said, no, that's not the God that I serve. And so she stood in faith, and people came alongside her, and all the way, they live in California, all the way across the country. We've been praying. I know Eric's other men's group, and I know Eric is so faithful to include others in prayer. God's people just lifted her up and this baby up, and she stood firm in that faith. And even at 30 weeks, he was born at 31, I think, right? At 30 weeks, they were saying he's going to be born stillborn. He will not breathe on his own. And it's just a miraculous, miraculous thing. And I think when we see that firsthand work of God so vividly, we cannot help but experience that joy. And so let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the way we see you work. We thank you for this child. We thank you for the trickle-down testimony all the way from Eric's father, who in the world's eyes should never have been born. And then to pass down to Eric and then to her, and just the amazing different ways, God, that your hand is on the life of this child. And we pray, God, for him to grow up and just be a mighty light to this world, that he grows up realizing that you saved him from the world, from these doctors that wanted to kill him for a purpose, a mighty purpose of evangelizing the world around him. And so we just give you all praise and all glory. And Lord, we do ask you just to stir that joy up within us when we see your hand. And we ask this in Christ's name, amen.